In Romans chapter 5, we see something about the crucifixion that is just amazing. And so many things about the crucifixion and Jesus' attitude is amazing to me when I look at it. But in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, it says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." I want you to think about that for a moment. Let that sink in for a moment. While we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. That is amazing to me. That while we were enemies, while we were against God, Christ died for us. But when you really think about it, all throughout Jesus' life, he always thought of others, didn't he? From the very beginning all the way until his death, he thought of others. Even when it came down to his betrayal and his crucifixion, he was thinking about everyone else. And I don't know about you, but if I knew that I was about to die a very gruesome and brutal death, that would probably be the only thing on my mind. Probably the only thing on my mind is what I'm about to go through, the pain and the suffering. I would be very distracted. I think you would too. But not Jesus. Not even the crucifixion distracted him. Think about for a moment about the time when Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room. After they had celebrated the Passover, Jesus kneels down and he washes the disciples' feet. He did that to teach them a lesson about being servants. He also took the time to warn Peter about his arrogance. He warned him about what he was going to be doing and what was about to take place that night in regards to Peter's denial of him. But he also spent a great deal of time comforting his disciples, considering he was about to leave them. Also think about Jesus as he went to spend his last remaining moments in the garden. Even at a time where he was so afraid about what he was about to go through, even to the point where he was sweating and his sweat was like drops of blood because he was very anxious about what was about to take place. He knew what was about to take place, and praying about those fears, he still considered his friends. He wakes his disciples and he warns them to be watchful and pray so that they don't fall into temptation. Even when the soldiers come and arrest him, the very ones that arrested him, he stops everything in order to reach down and heal an injured slave. I want us to also consider Jesus at his trial. Think about what happened at this trial. Of all the trials that have ever been, you know, we think about things that are going on in this day and time. This was an even bigger sham. Jesus had every right. Of anybody, Jesus was the one that had the right to complain about the violation of his rights. He had every right to be angry. He had every right to confront them about how unethical all of it was. However, even through all of that, when he heard the rooster crow, who did he think of? He thought of Peter. He took the time to find Peter and give him a look that I guarantee you Peter never forgot. I picture that look as a convicting yet loving look. a look that Peter needed in order to drive him to repentance. Jesus didn't have to say anything. All he had to do was look at him. Consider Jesus as he is on the road to Golgotha. After Jesus was sentenced, we find him carrying his cross along the road. Now remember, he's been beaten almost to death, and now he's told to carry his cross. He was beaten to a point of disfigurement. You couldn't even recognize him. Following him are a group of women, and these women are crying over him. Remember, these women are looking at an innocent man who has been beaten beyond recognition. And so this is a terrible scene. It's a horrible scene. However, he knows that they're upset. And he stops everything. And he turns and he looks at them. And he warns them of the coming destruction, which is what they should be crying about. And now we see Jesus on the cross. Every breath that he took was precious. Every word he spoke was agonizing. Even through all of that, even as nails have been driven through his hands and driven through his feet, there's a crown of thorns on his head. He's got open wounds all over his body. Even through all of that, he was still concerned about others. You think about the different sayings of Jesus on the cross. I want you to think about it. He looked out for the well-being of the very ones who were crucifying him. That's amazing to me. He looked out for the well-being of the very ones who were crucifying him, because remember what he said? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The thief who was right there next to him, who just recently was hurling insults at him minutes before, now he's telling him, today you will be with me in paradise. He looked out for the physical well-being of his mother when he told John, behold, your mother. He then tells Mary, woman, behold, your son. And then he thought about all of mankind, which includes you and me, when he said, it, the plan to redeem men is finished. It's finished. When you look at how Jesus faced the last hours of his life, is there anything more remarkable? He was fully aware of what faced him. He knew that he was about to undergo the most horrific method of execution that man has ever devised. Jesus had every right to be preoccupied with himself and think about himself and what he was going through and how it wasn't fair for him to go through that. He had every right. He had more right than we have ever had when it comes to our self-concerns. However, everything that Jesus said and did as he approached his death had someone else as his focus. When did Jesus ever say, look at me, look at what I'm going through? Your problem? You think that is a problem? Look at what I'm going through. He never said that. But that's how he was his entire life. His entire life. He always put others first. But I want to ask you a question, and I really want you to think about it. I want you to think about this. Considering everything that Jesus went through, and yet his focus was on everyone else, why is it that we have a hard time focusing on him? Can you answer that question? Everything that Jesus endured, you were his focus. Why is it that we can sit here and play on our phones and shop on our phones and find out what's going on Facebook and what's going on Instagram, what we're going to have for lunch, what we're going to do this evening, what we're going to do this week, what we got planned for vacation. Why is it so hard for us to focus on Him? Maybe we do have problems in our life, but nothing should take away our focus from Him. And focusing on Him doesn't mean that we just do it when we're gathered around the table. We can meditate for 15 to 20 minutes around the table while partaking of the Lord's Supper on Sunday. We can do that. But you realize we can still do it in an unworthy manner if we go out later and live however we want to live. You see, that really is the crux of the matter. We are to live our lives focused on Jesus. And it's very easy sometimes to lose that focus. And when you think about it, that shouldn't be too much to ask, considering He made the ultimate sacrifice for us. So I ask you this morning, as we are about to partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine, which Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Where is your thoughts this morning? Where are your thoughts? Are your thoughts focusing on Him? Are your thoughts on the problems that you're facing? Are they on something else? I want you to be honest with yourself. Is it too much to ask, after everything that Jesus went through, for Him to focus on you and to focus on me? Is it too much to ask to take the time to focus on Him? We're going to sing a song that's going to continue to help prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. Let's all of us here together turn our minds to Jesus, to what He did for us, and thank Him for His grace and thank Him for His mercy. Because had He not done that, had He not thought of you and me, there would be no chance of us ever, ever making it to heaven. We would be dead. We would be dead physically, and we would be dead spiritually. We need to focus on Him and be thankful again for His grace and His mercy.